morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us for the Sunday morning Wings Christian Fellowship Discussion Meeting Sunday School. If we get any more names here on this thing, we'll be done before we start. Father.
Yes, Jesus.
Help us, Lord Jesus, to always give you all the glory.
Yes.
All the praise.
Yes.
Who can we turn to, Father, but to you? Help us to find no security anywhere except in you.
Yes, Lord.
You are our strong tower, Father. You are our hiding place.
Yes.
You are every bit of glory that we can ever hope to possess.
Yes.
Father, we want to be just like you.
Yes.
We love you just as our Father. And to know that our Father is the Most High God, Father, gives us such great security and gives us such great serenity, Father, that we know that you are, and you are a rewarder. Oh, Father, we just rest in your love. And even though we're going through chapter 16 of Romans today, and we're talking about a lot of people's names and getting introduced, and that there is truth and there is deep truth in each and everything in this, in these words, Father. Help us to find that little nugget in each and every verse that we read. Father, we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, Kat, you just preached my whole sermon in your prayer today.
Oh, wow.
Talked about everything I'm going to say today.
Praise
you
the Lord.
You hit on it one time.
We can go
one
home.
Praise the
yeah,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's good.
And you know, that wasn't in my mind until my mouth opened.
Right.
That's right. That's the way it should be.
That's right.
Okay, folks. It's Romans chapter 16, and I'm hoping that we can go right on through. Let's stop, though, with the reading at 15. And we'll just kind of, what I would like to do is I have, as they say, a name. Just hang on for a minute each time you say a person's name, and I've got a little thing in here that tells me in an easy way without flip-flopping back and forth to Strong's what those names mostly mean. And so it'll just kind of give us a... Okay, I'm going to turn this down and
coffee's
hope
ready.
It works. And then I'm going to go here to the... Okay. So we're going to have up into verse 15, and that we probably won't hang too long in there, because it's just, it's mostly greet this one, give that one a hug.
Are you starting on 15?
We're starting on verse 1 and going to 15.
Oh, all right.
Okay? So, you know, if one of you wants to read, and then you want to quickly hit the other one in the shoulder and say, your turn, or whoever wants to do it over there.
You see it over here.
Over there on the east. Wait a minute.
And we're going from 1 to 15.
Right.
Yeah, chapter 16.
From chapter 16.
Okay. Now I introduced and commend to you our sister Phoebe,
mm-hmm.
a deaconess
now,
of the... Okay.
She's a deaconess or a servant, which would imply she may have held an office in the church. The name Phoebe means bright, radiant, shining, prophetic. So she must have probably was a prophetess. Okay.
Can I say one thing real quick?
Sure, yeah.
And that takes away all of the stuff where they say women weren't to do anything in the church, because in Christ there's neither male nor female.
Hallelujah.
And she was a deaconess.
There was half and half there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Can I say something before you go?
Sure.
And it says in here, possibly one of the carriers of the letter to Rome, our sister, in a sense, being a follower, believer, servant, then it goes.
Mm-hmm.
one in the early church, and well, anyway, that her role was this is what she fulfilled.
It was very high up in the administration. Important things.
Well, Paul wanted them to know what she had accomplished.
Yes. People think there was no organization or anything, but there really was in the early church. Right. Okay, go on. And this is more about Phoebe.
A deaconess of the church, I don't know what that name is.
Chitra? It's like a suburb of Corinth, I think.
That you may receive her in the Lord with a Christian welcome, as saints, God's people, ought to receive one another. And help her in whatever manner she may require assistance from you. For she has been a helper of many, including myself, shielding us from suffering. Give my greetings to, what's that, Prisca?
And Aquila.
Yeah, and Aquila.
Oh, Prisca and Aquila, yes. Prisca and Aquila.
Mine says in the King James, Priscilla and Aquila.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm sorry.
But I will say this, if you notice, the lady is mentioned first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Priscilla had probably a more dominant role in the ministry there than even than Aquila did.
Who was Aquila, her husband?
It also says that they were tent makers in the who worked in the same trade in tent making as Paul.
Did you get their name?
Somehow I got kicked out of where I was in. Priscilla, they call her Prisca here.
Yeah.
It keeps going back. Okay. Prisca was a diminutive form, like a nickname, an endearing name, of Priscilla, which means long life. Mm. She and her husband, Aquila, whose name means eagle, were tent makers like Paul. They were not only business partners, but partners with him in the ministry.
Mm. Okay.
So go on.
My fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their lives in changing their very necks for my life. Mm-hmm. To them not only I, but also all the churches among the Gentiles give thanks. Remember me also to the church that meets in their house. Greet my beloved.
Epentus? Epenetus? Does that sound right?
Yeah, it's close enough.
That means praiseworthy. His name meant praiseworthy.
Who was a first convert to Christ in Asia. Mm-hmm. Greet Mary.
Oh, Miriam, it says here. Mm-hmm. Or Mary. Miriam or Mary. The Hebrew name Miriam is taken from the Hebrew root and some kind of a noun, merm, which means height, summit, or exalted, or excellent.
Mm.
Lovely.
Remember me to Andronicus, is that it?
Junia?
Junia.
Okay. Throughout the first 1,200 years of church history, Andronicus, which means victorious one, and Junia, youthful, were considered to be a husband and wife. A small number of manuscripts have Julia. Paul calls them his relatives or Jewish kinsmen. The Arabic meaning of Junia is little dove. Mm. How sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
My tribal kinsmen and once my fellow prisoners. They are men held in high esteem among the apostles, who also were in Christ before I was.
Mm-hmm.
Remember me to
Amplatius, okay, was a common name given to slaves. It means large one. That sounds like Ed is a physical therapist.
Yes.
Large one. The Eastern Orthodox Church recognizes him as one of the 70 disciples whom Jesus sent out, and he is believed to have become the Bishop of Bulgaria. Mm. Okay.
My beloved in the Lord, salute, now I can say Urbanus.
Urbanus, just like where you're from. Urbanus was also a common name given to slave. It means polite one, very urbane. Okay.
Our fellow workers in Christ, and my dear, I don't know how to pronounce that name.
Statius? Mm-hmm. That means head of grain. He is said to have been one of the 70 disciples Jesus sent out. He eventually became the Bishop of Byzantium.
Says greet Apelles.
Don't forget to greet Apelles for me, it says here. Means the called one.
That one tried and approved in Christ, the Messiah. Remember me, those who belong to the household of
whoever that guy is, by implication, Aristobulus. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Or those connected to him, or his house church. The word household is not found in the Greek text. Aristobulus means best counselor. Must have been very understanding. Mm. Traditionally, he is known as one of the 70 disciples Jesus sent out, and he brought the gospel to Britain.
Greet my tribal kinsman, Herodion.
Herodion? Name means heroic. He was traditionally considered as one of Jesus' 70 disciples. Mm-hmm. He later became the Bishop of Neopathia, or Iraq, where he was beaten to death by the Jews, but was resurrected and continued to preach the gospel. Well, there's one you don't hear. It is believed that he was eventually beheaded in Rome. I guess they wanted to make sure they got the job done this time. In Rome, on the same day Peter was martyred. That's quite a story.
Yes.
And those in the Lord who belong to the household of Narcissus.
Narcissus, or those of Narcissus. Although nearly every translation has the word household, it is not found in the text. It is, by implication, this would be those meeting as a church in the house. Narcissus' name means astonished or stupefied. Some have identified him as a close friend of Emperor Claudius. Mm-hmm.
Salute those workers in the Lord. Tryphena.
And
Tryphosa.
This was really cute, because I thought of this before I even heard this. Tryphena means living luxuriously. Some have identified her as Antonia Tryphena, 10 BC to 55 AD, the princess of the Bosporian kingdom in eastern Crimea, and connected to the queen of Thrace. This would mean that she was royal and wealthy. And the other one, Tryphosa, also can mean living luxuriously or triple shining. Now it says some scholars believe that Tryphena and Tryphosa's were twin sisters born into royalty. And I remember when I was reading that, I thought, I bet you those two were twins.
Yeah.
It says, greet my dear Persis.
And that is, to Persis means to take by storm. She was a woman from Persia, Iranian background, who was a godly servant and a passionate follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, there were a lot of people who were of the Iranian, of the non-Hebrew Abrahamic lineage. who follow Jesus. Okay.
Who has worked so hard in the Lord. Remember me to Rufus?
Mm-hmm. Rufus means red. It is believed that he was the son of Simon of Cyrene. You know who that was?
Carried the cross for Jesus.
He was the guy that carried the cross for Jesus. Mm-hmm. He was the son. I wonder, I bet he was a big old red-headed country boy. Go ahead.
You'd lose that bet. I worked with a guy at work whose name was Rufus, who had red hair, smaller than you.
Oh.
Did three men's work.
Oh, wow.
His strength, he had strength in him. Mm-hmm. And it, or he's not done yet, right?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Imminent
in the Lord, also to his mother, who has been a mother to me as well.
Oh, sweet.
Greet. Here we go again. What is this? Can I pronounce that?
Asyncritus?
Yeah.
Means uncomparable. The Orthodox Church recognizes him as an apostle. He became the bishop of the Church of Hyrcania, which is Turkey. In this verse, Paul joins five men together. They could have represented the fivefold ministry, or they may have been leaders of house churches, for there were said to have been others with them, connected to them. Well, they sent a whole ton of people over there, didn't they?
Yes.
They read this? So there's Asyncritus, phlegm, it looks like, phlegon, means a burning one. He was considered to be one of the 70. The Orthodox Church recognizes him as an apostle who became bishop of Marathon, in Thrace.
Hermes
means preacher of the deity. He was considered to be one of the 70 and later became bishop of Dalmatia.
And
all the brothers and sisters.
You got Petrobus.
Oh, okay. Petrobus means fatherly. He likewise was one of the 70 and later became the bishop of Naples. So I guess that was Italy. There was really a lot of, there was an astonishing amount of organization, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Bishops and this one and that one. One more verse.
Hermas. There's another name. Hermas.
Oh, yeah, I thought we said that one.
Okay.
No, that's
one.
That's
Hermas was one of the 70s, and he became bishop of Philippopolis in Bulgaria. There are interesting traditions surrounding Hermas. It is said that he was a very wealthy man, but fell into poverty because of his sins. He was visited by an angel of repentance who accompanied him for the rest of his life until he was martyred. There are writings known as the Shepherd of Hermas that some scholars attribute to him, where he was probably talking about the angel who was rather.
Is that the last one?
Mm-hmm.
You
there's
one more,
verse with names, okay?
And the brothers who are with them, Greek, Philogas?
I don't have one of them.
Julia.
Nereus and his sister.
And
and also Olympus. That's the
Olympus.
Last one.
Mm-hmm.
This is all of them.
Yeah.
Philogas means talkative. Nothing more to say about that. He was recognized by the Orthodox Church as an apostle of Christ. It was likely that Julia was his wife and Nereus and his sister were their children. Olympus means heavenly. The Orthodox Church recognizes Olympus as an apostle who was mentored by Peter and was beheaded the same day Peter was martyred in Rome. Philogius and Olympus apparently had a measure of influence over a number of holy believers in the faith. The majority of the people named in this chapter were not Jewish, and many of the names indicate that they were former slaves. God can bless and anoint anyone who turns to him in faith. That was up to the end of 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You remember last Sunday when Oscar was speaking, he was talking about a mustard seed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe God does things in order. And he said, what could the mustard seed think it was going to be? It was going to be a mustard seed. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, all these names that you mentioned mm-hmm. had come out of and were found in the imperial household. All these people came from the imperial household. And in doing that, what else could they be but what they were made to be? I mean, I told Audrey years ago, the Levites, right? The Levites, I said, they're priests.
Priests, yeah.
The Levites were priests. Now, if you were a Levite son, you know what you're intended to be?
Mm-hmm.
You can be nothing more. I believe this. I believe that's how God's order is. Than a priest. I said they were intended all to be priests. And I think it was the Levites, after something happened, that ended up actually carrying.
They carried the ark.
They carried the ark. They were the only ones that could carry the ark.
Yeah.
Because I think it was through disobedience or something happened to the rest of them. They were the only ones to do exactly what they were told.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what it was. When they told them to kill all these here, they were the only ones that actually did it. So God said, well, you actually have honored me by honoring my word. Therefore, you will carry me. You know, isn't that basically how it happened? But what I talked about the mustard seed was because it only could be that which was intended for it to be. And so these people of the imperial household could only, according to the word, be what they were going to be. And I think that's a lesson for all of us. You know, well, what might happen? Well, you're going to be what you're supposed to be. I mean, you know, I love when he says that about the mustard seed, but I also love when he says, you in Christ and Christ in you. That's what we're supposed to.
Exactly.
That's exactly what we're supposed to be. I mean, when the reality actually breaks forth within us, when that reality breaks forth within us, I'm not going to think that what have we laid hold on, but what have we allowed to lay hold on us. See, it's all about Christ. I've been reading different areas and different books and papers and stuff like that where a person was talking about, you know, being humble and stuff like that. Well, first thing you realize when you're humble is you don't brag about it. Because that's an indicator of still having pride. And then the person that I read, I don't know who wrote it, but the person I read quoted Proverbs where it says, come before what? Pride cometh before the fall? Or actually in King James, I don't think that's exactly how it says it. But then and a haughty spirit, does it say, or something like that? But they're talking, where do they think? The question that the person put to everybody that's reading this article, where do you think it came from the beginning? Because he's wanting to get back into the scriptures. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I talked to a lady about if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And I told her what that scripture meant. And I found out now, she's 64 years old. And she told me, I've never, ever heard anything like that. So I was talking to her son the other day and just, I said, was she raised Catholic? And he goes, yeah. And he said, well, so have I been. Because I told him how much I'm praying for him and everything. And he hugged me and shook my hand and said, I've never ever, because I almost felt like he was my son. He said, I've never heard anybody tell me that they were praying for me. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I want you to go through life knowing your name is mentioned before God. Uh-huh. I said, in the decisions, because he's had to, you know, he didn't have to, but he felt like he was supposed to. But yet he said, and one thing, I was almost undecided to enlist for 4 more years. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I said, you're a captain in the Air Force, so you got enlisted 4 more years. And this is exactly what, and this is all I'll say about it. He goes like this, actually, I'm in the Space Force now. Mm-hmm. So, and he said, and I can't talk about that, but he said, that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So he's climbing the ladder, But the whole thing is, I think Paul, I've talked to you about this before, Paul was instructing the people where they were going to, especially in the first verse, I think, it talks about making sure you supply what she has need of, because she's going to be that which supplies what you have need of. Mm-hmm. Basically, I mean, of course, that's just the way I say it, but I mean, and this is a lie, I believe that harmoniously in one body is coming to pass. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the day we're in. Mm-hmm. We're in the day to where we no longer have a taking thing, but you know, I can supply that. Why have you ever thought to yourself, why has God given you ample of this? It's because he's gonna send somebody that needs it from you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you have somebody that you know has a need and you can supply it. Anyway, I'll shut up.
Amen. I used to work for a Jewish family. And even to this day, they know who's of the lineage of Levi. Like, and they are the cantors in the church. And there are a lot of people named Cantor. And like any Cantor, he was, you know, a long time ago, that's what he was brought up to be.
Oh, yeah.
He was a singer in the church and the priest in the church. They know who is of what lineage. It comes right down, you know, and my father was it, my grandfather was it. And there's nothing intrinsic in your morality or your feelings. It's who you are, because it's the seed of who you are.
Right.
You know, if you're a Levite, you are, a cantor in the church, or on a spiritual level somewhere. You know.
Yeah. Levi was the Levitical priesthood in general. It was the whole priesthood. You know, you had to be part of the Levitical lineage to be a priest or to serve in the temple area, mm-hmm. period. And the name Levi means joined. And what does scripture say? He that is joined to the Lord is what?
One spirit.
One spirit, see. And you know, so and when you realize that Aaron, you know, Aaron really was of the tribe of Levi. Mm-hmm. you know what I mean. And basically, I think Moses probably was too, see. Because, well, they were brothers, you know. It was his brother. But, you know, you had to be of that tribe. But, you know, under the Levitical law, you know, only the people of that tribe could be. Under Christianity, we're all called to be kings and priests unto God.
Yes.
Because he that's joined to the Lord
is one.
Is one. So it's one spirit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we join ourselves to the Lord, he joins it. We know he's joined himself to us already because he's inside of us. But when we join ourselves to him, we become a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Mm-hmm. But the thing about the Levitical priesthood, it was to do service. But we have attained a higher priesthood than that, because in Revelations it says that we are kings and priests, mm-hmm. unto God. That's the Melchizedek priesthood. That's the only priesthood that's the only one that ever was a king and a priest, both in the Old Testament, you know. And the whole ministry of that, of his ministry, was a ministry of blessing. That's why we're told to bless and curse not, you know.
Didn't it say that he's no beginnings?
Without
beginnings.
Well, right. Without beginning of days, without ending of days.
Yeah.
Now, read what it says in the Gospel of John. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You know, and that's in the beginning of the Gospel of John, first chapter. And it says, who were born, not of will of the flesh, mm-hmm. nor of blood, but of God.
Yeah.
So what's that? Without really, natural father, natural mother, you know, it's talking about the Melchizedek priesthood is what it's really talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's doing it in a veiled way, but that's what it's really saying, you know. And really our being born again of the incorruptible seed of God, we were born into a new dimension, the true dimension of the reality of who we really are in God, you know. And that's a little bit...
It'll break.
Sort of deep.
Break forth.
But that's
what that produces.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's all about him. You know, it's not really about so much us doing something, but it's about him and what he did, you know.
Well, if we go on two more verses, there's something I would like to read.
Can I say one other thing,
oh,
too?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have one more thing I wanted to say about those names, and I didn't mm-hmm. say it before. Mm-hmm. I have a little bit different definition of the word Mary.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, too.
Okay. If you look in Strong's and you look in Thayer's Greek, Hebrew, mm-hmm. it says rebellious.
Yes,
or rebelliously.
Yes. Trouble.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Now, think about this. When Jesus was at Mary and Martha's house, what was Martha doing? She was up serving the Lord. Now, the Lord gave me a whole message on this one time. Mm-hmm. She was up serving the people and serving the Lord. What was Mary doing? She was at Jesus' feet. And she was weeping and washing his feet with the hair of her head.
Right.
And when you think about that, all rebellion has to be brought to the feet of Jesus.
Right.
And has to be willing to get their natural glory. Because what's it say a woman's hair is?
Her glory.
It's her glory. They have to be willing to take their natural glory and be willing, so to speak, to dirty it, you know, to
right.
to minister to the Lord. And when Jesus said, when you've done this unto the least of my brethren, I'm talking really about everybody,
right.
what was he saying?
You've done it.
You've done
me.
It unto me.
Mm-hmm.
So are we willing to take the glory that is even our natural glory and humble ourselves enough to minister to people that in the natural aren't really worthy of being ministered to? They got dirty feet, you know. That's why Jesus, when he what did he do at the Last Supper? He laid aside his garments, and he says he took a towel, but it really wasn't a towel, it was a linen garment. He took a linen garment. That's what Zadok in the Old Testament did, which Zadok was part of the name Melchizedek, you know, that's part of his name. And he took that garment and he began to wash their feet and to dry them with what he was clothed in. So he was willing to take what was the priestly garment and take the dirt of his brothers and sisters,
that's right.
mankind, so to speak, upon himself. And what happened when Peter saw him? Peter looked at him and he said, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. Because Peter knew who he was. He knew he was the Christ, the Son of God. And he said, you'll never wash my feet. In other words, he saw that filth, all that dirt, filth, nastiness being put on Jesus. And Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Then Peter all of a sudden, wash my hands, my head.
My
head. You
know?
I love Peter. He was such an enthusiastic guy. I love that guy. You know, he was actually funny, you know, because he overdid it and everything that he did just about. Then Jesus told him, he said, if I wash your feet, you have no need for me to do anything but that. And he told him, you don't know what I'm doing now, but you'll know later on. And when you really understand what he was really doing there, he was showing, I'm going to take all the filth of the walk of man upon myself, you know. And you know, but then what happened after the supper? What did he do? He got up and laid that garment aside and took his own garment.
Right.
So he was able to lay it aside, and that's what we have to be able to do too when we deal with ministering to people in the world or whatever, no matter what it is. Don't keep carrying it with you.
Right.
You know, minister, take it, then lay it aside. You know, let go of it, you know.
What did Jesus say to Martha at that time, that Mary had chosen the...
Mary had chosen the better part.
Yeah.
He said, you're encumbered, you're about many things, you know, you worry
right.
about many things. And a lot of Christian mm-hmm. folks are like that, buddy. They, well, you know, brother so-and-so ain't doing this, or sister so-and-so ain't doing that. And that's what Martha was basically doing, you know. And then, you know, and then Jesus told, says, Mary's chosen the better part. She sat at my feet, you know. And, you know, we all need to remember that, that our first ministry is to the Lord.
Yes.
Second ministry is to whoever he puts in front of us, you know. Well, I didn't mean to talk so much, but I've seen that. And if you understand why rebellion had to come and sit at the feet of Jesus, see, and all rebellion's going to have, that's why every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Because all the rebellion out there in the world, it's going to have to bow at the feet of Jesus, you know. And it will. It will. Because his word declares that it will. Thank God for that. You know, aren't you glad about that? The meanest people there is out there are sometimes, somewhere,
yes,
whether it's in on the other side or wherever it is, they're going to bow their knee and they're going to confess Jesus Christ. Everybody, when they do, you know what he's going to do? He's going to forgive them.
Yeah.
He's gonna say, "What sin? There is no sin. Mm-hmm. I took care of that yes. thing." You know.
Well, that goes so much with the next, very well with the next two verses, 16, 17, and 18. I'll tell you what, Clyde. What Bible do you have over there? Mm-hmm. You got J.B. Phillips?
Yeah, I do. Give each other a heavy handshake all around in Christ's love, Christian love. The greetings of all the churches come to you with this letter. And it says a final warning. And now I implore you, my brethren, to keep a watchful eye on those, this is what we were talking about too, those who cause trouble and make difficulties among you in plain opposition to the teaching you have been given.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that should alert us.
Yes.
And steer clear of them. Such men do not really serve our Lord Christ at all, but their own ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
Yet with their plausible and attractive arguments, they deceive those who are too simple-hearted
mm-hmm.
to see through them.
Simple-hearted is different than being simple.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
That are simple-hearted, is that people that are willing to accept anything?
Mm-hmm. Well, they have no guile in them, and so they accept people at face value.
Yeah, but see, I see this as is Christ telling us, I've given you a discerning
yes.
spirit.
Yes.
Discern it.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, set before me and learn. I told Debbie, I said, come on, somebody's saying something to you, the world says, and it's too good to be true, chances are, it's not true.
Well, what you're saying there, Clyde, really goes along pretty much with what it says here in the King James.
Yes.
Because it's basically saying, you know, the divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which you have learned, and it's saying, and avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
saying, you know, don't be sucked into that, you know.
Can I read the next two verses out of this?
Sure.
It says, your loyalty to the gospel is known everywhere, and that gives me great joy. I want to see you experts in good. And that's what it says. It's experts in good and not even beginners in evil. Not even, oh, this is good. It will not be long before the God of peace will crush Satan under their feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. I mean, he's telling them back then it won't be long. But you know what? We're living in a different day today, but I see that already happening. Wherever you put the sole of your foot, God has already given you that.
When the word simple in that usage was without guile or fraud, harmless, free from guilt. That's why it's, you know, we have no guilt because Christ took our guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Fearing no evil from others, distrusting no one.
That's good.
Well, I think when Christ gives us things to talk to people about mm-hmm. and to, I know nobody in here wants to be a crowbar. you use a crowbar when you struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Christ has already taken that struggle, so we shouldn't have a crowbar. What we should be is like, and not even a Band-Aid, maybe a rubber band. We should be so flexible with the Spirit of God that whatever He says, we're honoring Him and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're honoring Him. I mean, you know, when you come to somebody and, I mean, you sit back. It's just like the guy at work one time. He said to me, and I thought this is exactly how God wanted him to say it to me. I intimidated him. You know what God, Holy Spirit, did to me when He told me that? It broke me down into tears. And I go, there's no way that was intended to be like that. And this guy, before it was over, was putting his arms around me. Said, it's okay. It's okay. But, I mean, that's why we need to be, when God wants you to break, we need to be broken by Him. What does it say? I think I might have this wrong. It's better that we fall on the rock and be broken than the rock fall on us and be crushed. And, I mean, you know, Kenny's sitting out there. Pat used to say to me, she didn't want anybody to see her cry. I said, but Pat, through the Holy Spirit, those tears,
mm-hmm.
is a refreshing of the Holy Ghost in you.
Mm.
I said, it brings just freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been in a place to where you might not like the rain, but there's some time in your life you like it? When I was in high school, I used to love to run cross country in the rain because I knew it was the freshest air I'd ever breathed. I mean, not pouring down, I'm talking about, this is good. Of course, I had lungs to burn back then, but the whole thing was, that's exactly how it feels.
Well, probably
marathon runner here.
Probably felt refreshing too. The coolness kept, you know.
And I think that's how God, and you know, you can correct me, I don't know. I think that's how God has intended the poison to come out, refreshing to come in. You know, it's like one way of getting rid of things that we've seen, and you know, and basically, you know, we have a repentant spirit of, and
mm-hmm.
and anytime that happens with God, what's sin? I mean, you think about that. What's sin? When you think about that, and how much His mercy is fresh and new every day, and I go like, really? Because if you try to think it through, somehow it don't go through here. But if you accept it for what it says, it goes right here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. Anyway, I'm speaking too much.
Brenda, you put your Bible away. I was just gonna ask you to read 16, 17, and 18.
this is 16.
Uh-huh.
Greet one another with a holy, consecrated kiss. All the churches of Christ, the Messiah, wish to be remembered to you. I appeal to you, brethren, to be on your guard concerning those who create dissension and difficulties and cause division in opposition to the doctrine of teaching which you have been taught. I warn you to turn aside from them, to avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites and base desires. And by ingratiating and flattering speech, they beguile the hearts of unsuspecting and simple-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to go further?
No, that's where I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
When you read 17, this version, the mirror version, references Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. And in the mirror Bible, that says, there is no other gospel in spite of the many so-called Christian products branded gospel. If any hint of the law remains, it is not good news, but merely religious people's ideas, detracting from the gospel of Christ. Some seek to unsettle your minds by perverting the gospel to accommodate their own opinion. Isn't that great?
I'll tell you what, I think they, it's things that they don't want to change into that they know is true. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And what's the truth do? Sets you free. Mm-hmm.
Do you have that Galatians in there? In J.B. Phillips? Galatians chapter 1. Just, and then...
Yes, I do. Can I wait to read it next week?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mike, would you close in a word of prayer?
Sure. Father, thank you for another day to be here and hear your word. And Father, discuss the things that we're hearing. And Father, give us the spirit to be humble, Father, and use us as you need to use us. And we thank you for all the things you're doing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.